Hey everyone, this is Adam Ellenboss from Nightlight Astrology, and today we are going to take a deeper look at the meaning of Mercury in the sign of Taurus. So in order to do this, I'm going to reboot one of my Planets in Profile episodes. I'm doing this also as a way of exposing people to that series which covered Mercury, Venus, and Mars through all 12 signs in light of the fact that we're about to do the same thing for the Moon, hopefully starting in May. So we'll be taking the Moon through all 12 signs and rebooting the Planets in Profile series, or getting it started again. My intention is to eventually go through all of the planets, through all of the signs, at least the traditional seven. It might be a little bit harder to comment on the outer planets through the signs, since they're there so rarely. And, you know, it's like we can't draw on like living experience or even a lot of experience from people with charts with certain outer planets in those signs. So I'm not sure what we're going to do with the outer planets, but we'll be taking the rest of the traditional seven through all 12 signs as a part of this series. Anyway, before we get into that today, don't forget to like and subscribe. As always, share your comments when you have them. It really helps the channel to grow. You can find a transcript of today's talk on the website, which is nightlightastrology.com. I also want to take you over to the website right now because we are in the midst of enrollment season, as you guys know. So if you go over to nightlightastrology.com and click on the first year course page, you're going to see under courses, go to first year course. The second year program and the horary program also begin in June for those of you who are ready to dive into advanced classes, maybe because you're halfway through or finishing the year one program. Check those out. Starts on June 11th, the new year one program does. So that's where most of you will want to start. June 11th, you can see what some alumni have had to say about the course, everything it includes. There's 30 classes on the year. They're recorded, so you can attend live or follow along at your own pace. There's an online forum discussion with staff tutors, so you can always answer questions, have your questions answered throughout the year. You can contact me with questions by email throughout the year. We have tons of bonus material, optional reading, and quizzes and things like that we include. We also have breakout study sessions in between classes or major units of study. If you go down to the bottom of the page, you'll see some of the payment options. We're trying to get everybody to use the need-based tuition now because they take a little bit longer to process. We're trying to avoid getting all of them coming in at the last minute, which sort of swamps our staff. So if you would like to attend and need a little bit of help to do so because you have a very tight budget, or you're working only part-time, or you've been facing some financial difficulties for whatever reason, check out the need-based tuition. We have those there for people so that nobody's priced out of being able to study astrology if that's what you really want to do. There's also a payment plan, 12-month payment plan for the normal tuition, and an early bird payment that could help you as well. With the need-based tuition, if you have any questions about it or whether you would qualify or not, just email us, info@nightlightastrology.com. We'll be glad to talk you through it. And the earlier you get those in, the better. Also, just want to let people know that we have been dealing with one issue, which is that when people apply, we email them back, and sometimes our responses to your need-based applications go into your spam or promotions or junk folders. So be sure that you check that if you applied and haven't heard back from us. We have responded to everybody who has applied, and we always do so within a day or so. And so just make sure that if you haven't heard from us, reach back out. Again, email is info@nightlightastrology.com. Well, today I am very glad to rewind an old episode on Mercury's entrance into Taurus. This was made several years ago. So it's when I still had my initiated name and, you know, shaved up and everything. So it's kind of fun to look back at. But a good deep dive into the meaning of Mercury in Taurus. We are in the midst of a Mercury retrograde in the sign of Taurus right now. And so it felt like an appropriate time. It's kind of a lull. There's not a lot of major astrology this week, like no big aspects happening Monday through Friday to talk about. So I thought, well, we'll preview the eclipse this week and let's dive into Mercury and Taurus a little bit more, since that's the retrograde that we're all working with at the moment. So I hope that this serves you in getting to know Mercury and Taurus a little bit more and getting to know the god and its position in the sky that's working through us with the retrograde, which will be present all the way through the next eclipse in Scorpio as well. So so without further ado, here is that old episode. I hope you enjoy it.
Hi, everyone. This is Achyuta Bhava from Nightlight Astrology, and today I'm doing another episode of Planets in Profile. In today's episode, we're going to take a look at Mercury in the sign of Taurus. So as always, it's important to break apart the different components of a sign and remind ourselves of the guest-host relationship that is implicit when any planet is in any sign other than its own. Taurus is not one of Mercury's home signs, and so it's very important to always look at whose temple Mercury is in, if not in its own, or any planet for that matter. Taurus is the solid, earthy, yin or feminine temple of Venus, which is also the exaltation of the moon. Taurus is the exaltation of the moon, the domicile of Venus. It is a solid or fixed sign. It is yin, feminine, and earthy. When Mercury is in this sign, Mercury's normal characteristics, communication, adaptability and flexibility, fluidity and change, the tendency to take things apart, to analyze, its association with the mind, with busy marketplaces, highways, and travel, its association with things like thieves and messengers, as well as people who are skeptics or who might like to debate, craftsmen, people who have technical skills, who are into information or technology, rules communication and speech to a certain extent. So all of that mercurial stuff becomes earthy, yin, feminine, solid, Venusian, and lunar when it's in Taurus. You get a little blend of all of that. So you need to pay attention to Venus's placement in the chart or the moon's placement when you are looking at Mercury in the sign of Taurus. This is the sign of the bull. It's a fertile spring sign. It has a very stabilizing effect. It's a very sensual sign. It can be very controlled and very stubborn. It can have, not everyone understands this about Taurus because we get lost in the apple pie and sort of Venusian goddess side of Taurus. But also there is a very, what do I want to call it? There's a kind of romantic conservative quality. Let me try to explain. So romance doesn't only belong to, you know, one type of image. Like the goddess has, as the goddess rules romance. So the goddess represents romance in a wide variety of different ways. So you can have the goddess representing a romantic image of a candlelit dinner. It's very sensual and it's very sweet. And you can have Mercury in Taurus representing sweetly spoken words or singers. You can have people who have that mercurial craftsman ability in ways that are very artistic. And that's kind of quintessential goddess stuff. And we're going to talk about that. I've got a bunch of examples of people with Mercury in their Taurus that fit that bill. But on the other hand, you have the kind of cowboy motif with Taurus. Not a lot of people understand this, but that fixed earthiness of Taurus and the attractiveness is like, I don't know if you guys ever saw any of the old Clint Eastwood movies. He's someone who has Mercury in Taurus. I'll mention him in a minute, but he's a great example. That sense of like red, white, and blue, you know, the Dixie Chicks, like you know, NASCAR and football on Sundays, church, American Pie, that kind of sweet, simple country folk quality. And I'm not trying to, you know, obviously I grew up in a town in northern Minnesota where I was actually a big part of what my growing up was like, people, you know, riding in the backs of pickup trucks to football games on Friday nights, right? Like there's that. But that kind of rural mid-America, you know, like apple pie from your grandma after church service, whatever, that's very Taurus as well. And Taurus can also be associated with power and something that's really fecund and virile, like a bull. So that kind of steady and also methodical, controlled. But generally with Taurus, you won't get the Capricornian quality of hardness and sternness. You're going to get a sense of that same solidness of earth, but with a more pleasing, harmonious vibe. But don't be fooled, because it can still be just as determined, potentially objectifying of things and people in order to get what it wants. It can be kind of possessive and stubborn. So there's a lot of those traits that'll come through in the ways people think or speak or relate, or in the way that Mercury expresses itself in Taurus. At any rate, let me give you some examples now to fill things in a little bit. Here are some famous people, and I'll just illustrate elements of their character and how Mercury at Taurus is exemplified in their life. So you have people who have very pleasing, they're able to appeal to a lot of different people and can usually consolidate almost like a middle ground, like you can pull people in from the extremes on the left and the right in politics, for example, even if you're more conservative or more liberal. For example, both JFK and George W. Bush, or the second Bush, have Mercury in Taurus. They were able to pull in sympathies from moderates, even though people would say that they were more extremely on the right or the left. In other words, that they were true to, like, JFK is obviously more of a liberal, and Bush is obviously more of a conservative in a sort of very basic binary sense. But they had a strong base of support because they pulled in a lot of people from the middle. There was something about them that felt very sweet, very simple, very appealing to this kind of this image that Mercury in Taurus can project, which is someone who has kind of a simple, sweet, trustworthy, stable, reliable voice, or sometimes the people who are very articulate or whose voices just really capture people in some way. JFK is a very, you know, a way in which he was very clean cut, but very charismatic. Same thing with George Bush. I mean, I remember I was in college when he was elected for the first time when he ran against Gore. And I just remember, you know, I was at a Christian school, so there was a lot of people at the Christian school who were more on the conservative end politically. And I just remember how captivated people were by his voice, how sincere they felt that he was. And I'm not inviting judgments here. I'm just saying that there's a Mercury in Taurus quality that's able to feel solid and appealing in a sort of simple but eloquent, beautiful way. Like George Bush was not an orator. You know, he was not like a great, really memorable speaker. In fact, sometimes he had real blunders when he spoke. But somehow he had that charm and that kind of cowboy, simple, like that. So you can say that oftentimes the Mercury in Taurus will capture something of that. And that can be, I mean, if you want to get a job, you have a Mercury in Taurus, you're going to probably be a good interviewer. Then there's ways in which you'll see people that just, it goes to an extreme where there's something about their voice that's really captivating. For example, Penelope Cruz. Penelope Cruz, very intoxicating voice when you hear her speak and as an actress and things like that. Also, Penelope Cruz has a background in dancing, and oftentimes you'll see Mercury and Taurus people having very interesting technical abilities when it comes to art. Sometimes you're going to see Mercury in Taurus show up in terms of a person thinking about or writing about sex or something involving sexuality. For example, Sigmund Freud. Don't have to say a lot there. And also Harvey Milk. If I remember correctly, the first official gay man elected as an official, and I believe it was in San Francisco, but both Mercury and Taurus. So sometimes what a person says, communicates, or something about their mind, they may end up being a messenger, a thinker, articulating something about sexuality. That's a Mercury and Taurus dynamic. But also in another example of a great craftsman, surrealist artist who had very unique and developed skill set as an artist. Not that I could speak to it so much because I'm not like a student of art history, but Salvador Dali, Mercury in Taurus. Then you have people with these really memorable voices who have this kind of charm and alluring simplicity. And you can have it across the spectrum, like Mercury in Taurus, Jack Nicholson. He's kind of a trickster, jerk, charming fox. You know what I mean? That's Mercury in Taurus. Very solid, very stable. You think of what was his first one? It wasn't he was a biker. He was a biker in one of his early movies. What was that called? I'm forgetting that movie. I've seen it before. Easy Rider? I can't remember. But if someone remembers the motorcycle character he played, very Mercury in Taurus. How about Clint Eastwood? Again, he's got that simple tough guy thing, but he's also got this like sense of humor, and he's very attractive. So his voice he's very memorable, like his Dirty Harry voice. It's funny how it doesn't really matter what type of voice it is. It doesn't have to necessarily be a light, bright apple pie voice. It just has to be very memorable. It has to capture people, and there's like a gravitational center that pulls you in when people have Mercury in Taurus. Really good singers sometimes too. And there's a huge list of singers you can look up with Mercury in Taurus. Pierce Brosnan was an illustrator before he became an actor or studied illustration. He also has a very memorable voice as James Bond. How about Morgan Freeman, one of the greatest narrative voiceover actors? I think of Shawshank Redemption, for example. And then you have people who play that like talk show host. I make you feel comfortable. I get you to talk. I open you up. Conan O'Brien, John Oliver, Jay Leno. Who else? I know there was someone else on my list. Stephen Colbert. And there was more too, but those were some of them that I threw in. You have really talented singers. I'll just mention a few, and musicians like Miles Davis or Ella Fitzgerald. You have Dean Martin is another one. You have really great writers, especially like, here's a great one, sort of a nature earthy writer who also brings forth his sexuality into his writing, very famously Walt Whitman, who was a gay poet during the Civil War, right around the time of the Civil War. I think he was a nurse in the Civil War. Seth Rogen and George Carlin, you have that really lovable, entertaining, like it's so funny how George Carlin and Seth Rogen can get away with things that are so crude because there's something about them that's so genuinely likable. That's another Mercury and Taurus trait that I find really interesting. You have to be careful about that too, because there's actually a bunch of, there's several cult leaders that have Mercury and Taurus that I didn't include because I thought, well, it might be a little dark, but anyway. Richard Wagner, I hope I'm saying his name correctly, famous composer. You also have people who build these industries around art, like George Lucas and Frank Oz, for example, who of course worked together on Star Wars. Frank Oz memorably, of course, was the voice of Yoda. But they build this like technological art empire, LucasArts, Lucasfilm, something like that. Lucas Ranch, I don't know, Star Wars Ranch. Isn't there something like that? It's like Disney World for Star Wars. Orson Welles, another like, you know, just radio, writing, film. You also have people who are particularly interested in the environment and ecology, like Jacques Cousteau. That's an interesting one. There were several others like that. I try to trim my list down. People with really memorable, that kind of the potency of the bull, but not necessarily light and bright and Venus-y, even though it is artistic, but like Vincent Price or Trent Reznor, Mercury and Taurus. So you can't make the mistake of thinking that a Mercury and Taurus person, like the artistic, the messenger meets the goddess will be there, but sometimes it can be quite dark. Like the bull is like a heavy, powerful animal. And sometimes that power, when it's placed with other things in the chart, if there's placements in Scorpio or Capricorn, or sometimes like even like some Aries energy, it'll mix in and there'll be like a kind of like a deeper bass note that's there as well, like a darker mood that can get itself there. Another, like there's Luther Vandross in terms of like a really famous voice. Mr. T, I loved that Mr. T. Because is there anything more memorable than his solid, like, bullish boxer, you know, like, I pity the fool. Like, it's so simple. And I don't even think he said a lot in I don't remember the A-Team or whatever it was called. I was, like, pretty young when it was sort of at its peak. I remember watching it with one of my mom's uncles. I guess it would have been one of my great uncles. And he was just, like, but of course, everyone loved him. Think about how everyone had t-shirts, and so there it is. Like there's going to be this even if it's really fairly simple, like did Clint Eastwood even say that much in a lot of his movies? No, but there's this kind of simple, attractive potency, like it's kind of like the cowboy thing or the tough, simple, attractive thing. So these are just a few to give you a feeling for it. But I would love to hear from all of you, you who were born with Mercury in Taurus, or maybe you have a spouse or a daughter or something like that who was born with Mercury in Taurus. What do you think about this placement? Leave your stories. I'd love to hear them. I would love to hear the way that you see that Mercury Venus dynamic working. And also if you have ever, looked at the placement of Mercury when it's traveling through Taurus by transit, you'll often notice that these, you can do this with any of my episodes in the series, that watch for Mercury's transits in Taurus to bring these qualities into a certain area of your life. Like I'm never shocked when Mercury passes through Taurus and I get the inclination, because this is, I've actually tracked this because I've talked about Clint Eastwood example for many years in my practice, that the first time that I noticed that Mercury in Taurus transits tended to, that were associated with Clint Eastwood, was because I would always rewatch The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly, which is one of my like favorite all-time, you know, spaghetti Western, like Sergio Leone. I don't know if you guys know all that, but one of my favorite of all times. So I would watch it. And one time I was watching it and I was like, there's gotta be some pattern to when I want to watch, you know, Clint Eastwood movies. And sure enough, Mercury was in Taurus. And then I next year round, it came up and I was like, oh, it's when Mercury's in Taurus is when I want to watch my Clint Eastwood movies. So go figure. But anyway, yeah, tell me your stories. I'd love to hear from you guys. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're enjoying this series. I think we have Mercury and Gemini left before we complete the full circle. All right. Take it easy, everyone. Bye.